Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
How's it going, Peter? How are you doing?
It's going okay. I'm doing all right. It's the first time we've spoken to each other this week, isn't it? It's the only time we're going to speak to each other this week.
Absolutely madness. It's a busy old week here in the fictitious Triple Jump Towers in which we reside.
Yeah.
Just a couple of busy boys having to catch up on holiday that we have accrued, that we have been instructed we need to take.
And therefore having to sort of do extra work on the days we're in just to make sure that things still keep ticking over. That's what holiday is, isn't it? Once you get to a certain level of job, you know, once you've kind of, you've left the soul-destroying retail work that you maybe started out doing, that we've all been there. Suddenly, when you've got responsibilities, you have to make sure that things are going to be happening when you're not around.
Absolutely. So, ironically, taking holiday means that you have to work harder on the days leading up to and coming back from holiday.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is sort of messed up. But hey, what are you going to do, huh? Will you complain on a podcast? I don't think so.
What are you going to do? Wipe your tears away with your paycheck?
With all that money, all that billions of pounds that you're earning making stupid videos on the internet.
Yeah.
Cry me a flipping river. Hey, speaking of billions that we make on the internet, we get a sponsor for this podcast each and every week. It's a totally real video game sponsor. Peter, I think you have the ad read with you now. I believe a carrier pigeon brought it to you earlier.
It certainly did. I've got it right here. Mm-hmm. Are you aware that at time of recording, a few days ago, Ubisoft did their annual catering conference?
No, did they?
They did. Yeah, they do one every year. It's sort of it's kind of gets overshadowed by Ubisoft Forward, which they don't actually do every year.
Oh, because I watched that one.
Yeah. Well, the small catering convention that they do annually, that's happened as well. So we're just sort of sponsored by them in general, and we're kind of here to just announce some of their new products that they're releasing.
Okay,
which is very exciting.
Okay.
Obviously for the sweet tooths among you, there's some Assassin's Creed Vanilla available.
I love that one. It's so bland.
It is, yeah, absolutely. If you fancy something a bit more savoury, Watch Dogs Cajun.
Oh, that's also a good one.
The best kind of chicken, Watch Dogs Cajun.
Yeah, riles a few people up, that one.
It does, yeah. They talked a little bit about their Far Cry mix, which is like a, you know, well, no one knows what it is. It's just different bits of things.
Right.
But it tastes good. It tastes varied. That's what it tastes like.
Like
Far Cry mix.
Like those, like Star mix.
Yeah, exactly like that. And that was the bulk of it, really. I was a bit disappointed that there was no talk of Beyond Pudding Treacle, but you know, what can you do?
It's too much. You got to stop there. You got to pull it. You got to pull out. You got to pull out.
Abort. Fortunately, none of that is real.
Whoa, what? That's crazy. Because ironically, I was also at a different Ubisoft convention, but this was for their book publishing arm called Ubisoft Forward.
Oh yeah, okay.
Where they just they dedicate a page of several books to a paragraph about loved ones, you know?
Right, yeah.
And that one is real. You can take that to the bank.
For John. Someone just steps up to the microphone and says for John.
And then everyone claps and it's amazing.
Claps for John.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, that was a real sponsor. No, it wasn't a real sponsor. God, it gets so confusing because they seem so real.
They do, don't they? Always, they seem so believable.
They always seem so real. No, the real sponsor, of course, are our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/team triple jump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can submit questions for this podcast. I usually put out the question post on a Tuesday morning, and we fetch the questions on a Wednesday afternoon. But of course, because the schedule's a little bit higgledy-piggledy the last week or so, with holidays and stuff, I actually put it out on Friday. Crazy.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I got the questions on Tuesday night. It was a bit mad, but we did get questions. Questions from people such as...
Oh, such as Robert James, two first names. By the way, where are we walking?
Oh, that's a very good point. We are walking through the Ubisoft catering convention.
Oh, fantastic. There's one for James to somehow...
Just a catering convention, James.
Fine. Just any kind of... That'll be fine. Just generic convention. Maybe stick a sort of burger on one of the banners or something. Yes. It's up to you. Robert James asks a question. What are some reasons you guys would put away consoles and move to PC gaming?
Ooh. Oh, when they stop making consoles. No, it's very easy to be flippant about this, I feel, because we have, you know, you're far more PC leaning than I am. But I feel like we frequently discuss our love for consoles and so on.
Yeah.
And it is very easy to just say, oh, flip PC gaming, it's too complicated. But genuinely, mine... My love for console gaming comes from the fact that I've never had a PC that could run any kind of game ever.
Yeah.
And so I'm so unknowledgeable about it that every time I try and play a PC game on my work PC that I have at home at the moment, or, you know, when we were at the Yogscast for a year and people were saying, oh, install these mods and you've got to have these plugins. And I was like, I just don't, someone's going to have to come in here and do this for me. It just feels like an entirely different language. So in terms of what would make me go to PC gaming, it would genuinely have to be something like maybe Sony Folds, or all of their games are bad, or something along those lines. PC gaming becomes more affordable than console gaming. I don't know. It would have to be a real, like, really monumental financial situation. I feel like a financial shift for me to move to PC gaming from console gaming, I think.
Yeah, but I think also not just the financial aspect, which you're absolutely right, is you know, can be a big part of it, but I just want the games to work. You know, even if you fork out like $1,000 for a really good PC, you can just have issues because it's not compatible with this, or you've got this thing switched on, or oops, your firewall or whatever. And, you know, at least, I mean, once upon a time, consoles really were pick up and play, or plug in and play, or whatever. You would stick the disc in, turn it on, mm-hmm. and the game would load. And you've literally just taken the game out of its cellophane, you know? Nowadays, it's not quite that, because there is installation and downloads, and also, you know, maybe they've released the game earlier than they should, and there are some glitches with it. But generally speaking, you at least come home, and it's probably going to sort of work.
Mm-hmm.
But with PC gaming, even if you have a high-end machine, you know, there's just random issues that you can get, I find, that just sometimes defy all explanation. And you have to go onto a forum and say, here's the issue I'm having. And they say, okay, can you copy and paste all of your PC specs here? Or can you give me the error code? And it's just a bit, it's just a bit much, you know? I do have, I mean, as you say, I play PC games a little bit more than you do,
mm-hmm.
But still not much. I've got a couple of reasons that I do / would play PC a bit more. I think the modding scene is a lot easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know that like Bethesda is like has console mods now that you can download, but for the most part, you know, if you want to mod stuff, it's a lot easier to do on PC. Obviously, streaming is pretty simple. If you get a capture card, then you can just play console games instead. But I find it a little bit easier just to have everything on one machine when I'm streaming. So there's that. But I think the main thing is that for as long as Sony refused to do backwards compatibility, you know, I'll definitely be turning to PC for at least emulating PS1 and PS2 games. You know, I do own a PS2, but I don't have to faff around plugging it in, to be honest.
Yeah.
So it's just a little monolith, or like a it's almost like a shrine to you know, it's It's where it sort of lives in the corner of my room and just represents a dead era.
Right. Yes.
Given that even I don't use the one that I own. But yeah, you know.
No.
Emulation is a good thing.
I think you're bang on there with the things that you said. It is definitely worth mentioning that consoles are moving seemingly more in the direction of PC games anyway, or a PC-like experience with all the updates and the live service elements and the always online and that kind of stuff. And it's not always great, but it's still significantly simpler on console when something goes wrong to know what's going wrong. You know,
yeah.
It's one of a few things and it's easily solvable. But yeah, consoles, it's ease of use. It's the financial aspect. It's a multitude of things, but I think ultimately, and I'm not sure if this is the case for you as well, but for me, certainly it ties into the fact that I just prefer consoles beyond the reasons that we both stated. I just have a preference for playing on a console than I do for playing on a PC. And it's going to take a fair bit to sort of switch that around for me, I think.
Yeah. Couch gaming as well, I think. I know you can set up your PC so that you can play on a TV with a controller, but at that point, why aren't you just playing a console, to be honest?
Yeah.
There's that aspect too.
And also trophies, of course.
Trophies. And exclusives.
And exclusives,
you know?
Yeah. Xbox.
Got so many reasons.
I think the Xbox chief, is it Phil Spencer? I think someone from Xbox recently came out and said that Sony having so many exclusives is sort of like not fair play or something like that. It's against the spirit of gaming because I don't know. It's bollocks, isn't it, really? It's a really strange criticism to have. I don't really understand it. I know they're trying to, you know, with their new platform, or as we've discussed before, sort of make Xbox a service. It's sort of moving in that direction rather than a platform, so you can play their games on loads of different devices, that sort of stuff. But it does seem like a strange criticism, and I don't think Sony's going to shift from that perspective anytime soon. But yeah, exclusives also play a huge part in that.
That Usain Bolt, I think it's not really fair play that he just runs so fast.
Yeah, what's that about? He should run in his own race.
Yeah, he should just run at the same speed as everyone else, really. Yeah. You know, that would be more fair.
Yeah, definitely.
I think. Yeah,
definitely. Right, well, speaking of exclusives, or just games in general, I suppose, it's time for a section that's brand new and no one's ever heard of it before. It's groundbreaking, it's earthquaking, it's earth-shattering. What is it, Peter? Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's what we play in.
It's what we play in time. This is the section where we talk about what we play in. Peter, what we play in?
Oh, we play in some stuff. I've been streaming, of course, as we do every week. Finished Spyro the Dragon, number one. That was fun. The PS1 version I've been playing. Emulated on PC.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. There you go.
There's a little link. Yeah. And I've started The Elder Scrolls Skyrim. Yeah, I'm playing that in a bit of a weird way where I'm sort of trying not to be a hero.
Okay.
I've got an alternate start mod where you... it might even be this... I don't know if we used it for Responsible Zoo Owner or not. Mm. I don't know if maybe we just sort of set that up ourselves rather than used an alternate start mod.
I think we did. We woke up on a ship, remember?
Yeah, that's the one I chose for this one.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I'm sort of... I want to see, obviously, what I can manage to do in Skyrim without being the Dragonborn, but also, you know, also try and keep it interesting for a stream. So I don't just want to be a really boring man who just chops wood from dawn till dusk, which you can do in Skyrim if you really want to make money. But
yeah.
However, that aside, streams aside, I ended up starting up a separate Skyrim run because I really enjoyed playing it on my stream.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm playing it legit as well. Well, not legit. I'm playing it with the alternate start mod, but I'm going around still being a hero and a quester.
Yeah.
So playing it slightly more legit, but without the main quest, because I'm not really bothered about the main quest. I've still never finished it in Skyrim because it just doesn't interest me.
You never finished the main quest?
Never ever.
Oh, man.
I've seen some like YouTube playthroughs of it and stuff, but
it's just another one of those underwhelming Bethesda RPG final quests where it's like, it's the epic final battle with 12 people on screen.
Yeah. And there's a nice skybox, and that's kind of it.
Yes, yes. All the Aurora Borealis.
Yes, exactly. So outside of streaming, I've played a bit of Skyrim anyway. And I've also, for a video that I would like to do on some more weird PS1 games coming up, mm-hmm. I've been playing Jurassic Park video games on the PS1, of which there are two.
Yes.
There's the Lost World adaptation, mm-hmm. and there's the fighting game that they have, the one-on-one fighter.
Yes.
Are you aware of that?
Tekkenosaur, yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's it. So, you know, I'm interested in maybe looking at the weirdest dinosaur games on the PS1, of which there are several.
Yeah, that'd be
so
cool.
Yeah, been doing a bit of research.
Oh, nice, amazing.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So that's it, that's what I've been playing. What have you been playing, Ben?
Well, I have finished off Resident Evil Revelations, so I've ticked that off my Resi backlog of sort of trying to work my way through the Resi games. I do intend to start Resi 4 soon, and I'll let you know how I find that, but I'm sure it will be a step up from Resident Evil Revelations, which was not good at all.
Aww.
It was rubbish. It was really rubbish. So now, as far as I'm aware, I've got Code Veronica, Revelations 2, 4, and then I don't want to play the new ones because they're too spooky. But I think that'll pretty much be all the main ones that I'll have played then.
Yeah, it will.
So I'm getting there. This is me proving to emotionally scarred childhood Ben that you can play the Resident Evil games and come out the other side intact. You can do it.
Absolutely.
It's possible after my emotionally upsetting experience where it nearly, you know, turned me into some block of stone, petrified me.
Absolutely.
In place.
Yes. I think you'll be okay with Resi 4. It's a bit spookums at times, but it's mostly a silly action game.
Cool. I was fine with 2 and 3, and I feel like those are more geared towards horror than perhaps
they
4
are,
is. But I'm looking forward to it. I've only heard good things, so
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be great. Apart from that, I actually started a new game in Batman Arkham Asylum.
Oh, look at me and you both playing old games this week.
I know.
Going back to
I think Arkham Asylum is... Yeah, it's somehow... It feels like Skyrim should have come out before Arkham Asylum, but it's the other way around. 2009 for Asylum and 11 for Skyrim. But yeah, I've always wanted to get the Return to Arkham collection on PS4 because I really like City and Asylum. And, you know, I wanted to play them again. I haven't played them since the PS3 times where I tried to get all the trophies and then gave up because they were too hard. And I thought there's a small window here between finishing The Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima coming out. And I thought, you know what, I will hop in and give this a try. And it's still a very, very, very good game.
Excellent.
I haven't got that
far. Good to know.
I'm only a few hours in. But, still great. Just did the first Scarecrow encounter. And it's a clever game. It's a very clever game.
It is. I remember the Scarecrow encounters. Yeah.
It's great.
Spookums.
And,
not spookums.
Well, yes. Well, it's a little bit spookums. There's a bit with your parents in the body bags and stuff. That was it's a little bit upsetting. You know, you go into the morgue and it's yelling at you saying, get out, and it's slamming all the doors. And then when you try to leave, you walk into the same morgue, but through the same door. But this time there's body bags. And who's inside? It's mother and father. And
mother and father.
They're saying, why didn't you save us, child? With your superpowers.
It's your fault. All my pearls got lost in the cobbles.
It's weird. She was wearing her pearls. So I don't know, you know, it's a mistake, isn't it? What a blunder.
it certainly is.
I'm just imagining a 10-year-old Bruce Wayne just built like adult Bruce Wayne.
Just punching Jack Napier
it
was.
Save us, Bruce. I'll save you, mother. It'll be amazing. Anyway, apart from that, that's actually, you know what? That's it. That's it. Obviously, Ghosts of Tsushima is coming out on Friday. And so by the time this comes out, I will hopefully have played a little bit of it. And I'll talk about it next week. But that game's reviewed fine. And, you know, I was thinking, do I cancel my pre-order if it, you know, scores below a certain amount? Because open world games, as we've spoken about on this podcast before, there really have to be a cut above for me to spend any time on it.
They do.
Because there's a lot to do in open world games, and I just don't have that time, and a lot of games are open world now. So it scored well enough for me to want to give it a go. So I will feed back on that next week.
Well, that's good to know. I hope you enjoy
it. Thank you. So do I.
With that, we can move on to question 2. Would you like to read it?
I shall. This is from Stefan Goslinski, And yes. Stefan says, what was your best or random online multiplayer experience? I've been playing through the Soulsborne games inspired by Ben and Babs, and I've had some lovely, heartwarming experiences with random people from around the world who popped in to help me beat a tough boss, or just hang out and run around the level. Are there any such moments for you guys where random folks online have restored your hope in humanity?
Those Soulsborne games are real heartwarming, aren't they?
They are. The people are so friendly and lovely in Soulsborne games, they just want to help.
They do. Man, I don't know. So I've talked before about how probably my favorite and probably longest running online gaming experience was with Halo 3. Mm-hmm. I played that for years as a teen and had a great time. And just sort of generally, I don't have a specific memory there necessarily, but just, you know, random squads that you would kind of pick up on an evening, you get match made together, and then you'd maybe just stick around and keep playing the same game for the rest of your session, and maybe you'd get chatting a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I would sometimes be on voice, not always, but, you know, it's just interesting speaking to people who were quite often from the US rather than the UK. Mm-hmm. And that was nice, just, you know, meeting people and saying, hey, do you want to stick together for the next round or whatever?
It's like the pre-Discord days, right? Because it seems like everyone's a member. I mean, we've got one ourselves, our own community. Yeah. But it feels like everyone online can quite easily exist in an online community now. But it used to be a lot harder, didn't it? It wasn't always that easy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, you meet strange people or random people that you've... You know, they're maybe quite different to you in some ways, and it's just quite interesting. Other than that, though, I used to play the odd MMO as a child. Never played any WoW, but RuneScape and Guild Wars, I played both of those. And just, I remember particularly in RuneScape, in my first couple of days or weeks, I would kind of just hang around outside the bank and ask people for free stuff. And occasionally, people would give you free stuff, mm-hmm. and it would be like, what? That's wild. I remember this guy giving me a black sword. I think black was just the name of the material rather than an adjective, yeah, of, like, the color.
It was between iron and mithril, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. He gave me a black longsword, and I was like, oh, wow, are you sure? Really? Wow, thank you. And maybe gave me some gold as well. And he was like, yeah, yeah, have it. And I had a similar thing in Guild Wars where someone gave me an amazing bow, mm-hmm. just because they were that high level. And just moments like that, I think, as well, made me think it was the first time that anyone had even been able to give me anything in a video game, because I didn't generally play online at all back then. Yeah. So to know that there are strangers out there who you can encounter in an online game and that they'll just do nice things for you was just a new experience and quite a nice one, I suppose.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lovely.
What about you?
I also had an experience in RuneScape. It actually wasn't that long ago. It was a couple of years ago now, where there's this weird party room, I think is what it's called. I was playing RuneScape Classic, and you have to like pop the balloons. There's like a chest that everyone who goes into the room can deposit stuff in the chest, and sometimes it's crap, but a lot of times people will put quite high level and valuable items in there, and then someone has to pull the lever when everyone's ready, and these items will be randomly assigned into balloons that fall from the ceiling. And everyone in that room has to click on these balloons as fast as possible. And when you stamp on the balloon, if it has something in it, it'll be on the floor and you'll pick it up. So it's sort of like a random lottery based on the tat that people want to feed into the system. I was in that room once, and someone had, and I can't remember what it was called. It was some kind of special item in game that granted you a year's membership, and it has a special name in game, and for some reason in game it's worth like 2-3 million coins, something like that. Jeez. And people just trade them around at that value. They don't seem to actually use them, as far as I could tell. Anyway, they're just valuable items that you can own. And this guy was in there commanding the whole room, saying, right, I've got one of these, who wants it? Have a dance-off. The best person who dances wins. And I was stood in the corner of the room, and everyone just started dancing, saying, me, give it to me. And I said, I refuse to dance for this. And at the end, he said, you've won it. Here you go. And he gave it to me. And I went to the Grand Exchange, and I sold it. And for the first time in my RuneScape life, I was rich. And I could buy anything I wanted. and it was incredible.
He sold
it. I became a multi-millionaire in RuneScape immediately because of that.
That's incredible.
Strange act.
I love that people just trade them around at high value rather than that. Really, that's what economy is. Mm-hmm. That's how economy works. It's just knowing that this thing has value, but not to me, and maybe not even to the person I'm selling it to, but they will give me millions of gold
yes.
for it. That's just weird that construct made it into video games. But mm-hmm. you know, there's loads of MMOs and stuff that have their own economies and stuff, especially in South Korea.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's wild.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So that was a good one. I like that one. Another one was actually in Soulsborne, because as much as we joke about how they, you know, it's a lovely, uplifting experience in Soulsborne, unless you're, there's a lot of people who will grief you, who will come in with special builds, custom design, where they have one HP, but they deal 12,000 damage because they're wearing
yeah.
like six rings that completely debilitates them, but also makes them very powerful. And they'll just come in and kill you. Because that's what they want to do, you know, for their YouTube lol compilations or whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes you'll genuinely encounter people who are decent and upstanding. And because there's no voice chat and there's no text chat, there's sort of this unwritten way of communicating through gestures and like bringing up your shield and lowering it again and that sort of stuff, where you're just trying to sort of communicate via primitive means, you know.
Yeah.
And there was one time where I was playing with Sparkles, actually, a little while ago. And there's this item you can get in-game that turns you into a barrel or a piece of scenery. And it's
right.
like a single-use item. And it just lets you hide in the level, basically. So I got invaded, turned into a barrel. Sparkles turned into a barrel. And then automatically, because of the covenant I was in, it automatically summoned someone in to defend me because I'd been invaded. That person then
right.
found us, saw that we were barrels, also became a barrel. The invader ran up the stairs, saw that we were all barrels spinning on the spot, and then became a barrel as well. And we all started slowly making our way through the level as a parade of four barrels, just slowly sliding along the floor. And we did this for a few minutes, and it was really, really funny. And then when we got to sort of like a ladder, and we dropped down it, and it automatically got rid of the barrel effect. And the invader just waved and bowed and then left without
Aww.
Killing anyone. And it was a very wholesome and fun experience.
How lovely.
Yeah, delightful. Absolutely delightful. But things like that do happen in online games, just not very often.
Yeah, oh, that's nice.
You could describe it as weird, though, couldn't you?
You could actually describe it as weird, yeah. You know something else you could describe as
What's
weird?
That?
Reach for your prop.
I've got it.
You know something else you could describe as weird?
Yeah.
Whitney!
Well, no, it made me sneeze. It's so weird.
Bless
oh,
you.
Oh, my goodness.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's weird news time. It's time for weird news from around the gaming world of weirdness. I struggled to find something truly weird this week, so I've just sort of gone with, wow, that's a little odd.
Okay. It was slim pickings, wasn't it? I had to go back to the 7th of July, which was technically over a week ago at time of recording.
Before the last podcast.
Yeah, this could have made it in. This could have been very, very fresh news in the last podcast.
Yeah.
But alas, it's some weird olds this week. Mm-hmm. But here we go. It's got one word in it that, again, might not be okay for the YouTube metadata, but we'll see.
Okay.
According to Kotaku.co.uk and Alistair Jones, the deputy head of weird news, yes. I think, over there, Sims modders are taking action against sperm eyeliner.
No, what is that?
They are. It's not as bad as it sounds. Okay. That makes it sound like there's something really bad that's been officially added to the game.
Yeah.
Last month, it's only a short article, by the way. Last month, The Sims 4 received its latest expansion, Eco Lifestyle, let players clean up their neighborhoods, as well as introducing a number of sustainability-themed activities. Hello? I'm having a real hard time already. That was one sentence.
We're nearly there.
Yeah. The update also granted players some new makeup options for Create a Sim, one of which is proving pretty unpopular. A Reddit post via RPS, which is, let's hover over that link, Rock, Paper, Shotgun, of course. Yeah, how did I miss that? Highlights the new cosmetic. Appearing under characters' eyes, it features a long tail-like shape attached to a spherical head-shaped structure, all of which is a polite way of saying it looks like a big sperm.
Nice.
It didn't take long before the community had coined the term sperm eyeliner, and while it's easy enough to avoid putting it on your own Sims faces, there's nothing stopping NPCs from opting for their own bold new look. As a result, players are taking action to remove sperm eyeliner from the games entirely. Over the past few weeks, modders have come up with workarounds like no sperm eyeliner for random and sperm be gone, removing the makeup entirely or attempting to mask it with new designs. To be honest, I can't say I blame them. And that's it.
Wow.
It doesn't even really look like sperm, I would say. It's got like shading and color to it. I can send you a picture. It will be available for those who click the link.
Okay, let's have a look.
It's not a very big image, but...
Yeah, okay. I mean, not really, is it?
No.
It looks like an apostrophe.
Yeah, it's like a sperm turning a corner, because the head is sort of turned sideways, I would say.
I mean, I can't pretend to know anything about fashion or makeup, but it's a bizarre choice of eyeliner, I think.
I mean, that's the real sin here. Not that it looks like sperm, but just that anyone would ever think that looked good at all on their face.
Yeah, I mean, all the power to you if you want to wear it. But, there's no quicker way of ruining the reputation of makeup than by comparing it to sperm, I suppose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, are we going to be able to run with that as our lead story? Or will YouTube have a bad time with it?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Adam, maybe. Adam, can we put sperm in our video title?
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, there we go. Look at that. Sorted. Because mine is also, as I said, it's not great. It's not great weird news, but it's fine.
Oh, God. Fallout 76 adds sperm mechanic.
No, what's the other one we do? What's the other game we cover a lot?
Red Dead?
It's about Red Dead. That's it. You got it.
God's
sake. This is from Push Square. There were a few write-ups on this. I think Kotaku did a write-up, but it was 12,000 pages long and I couldn't be asked. Okay. So this one is three paragraphs. I've gone with this one instead. this is Push Square from Sammy Barker. We know that one. You may not have noticed Rock... I should read you the headline, shouldn't I? What is going on today? Red Dead Online fans demonstrate their disappointment by dressing as clowns.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Spooky.
It's really spooky. You may not have noticed Rockstar's abandonment of Red Dead Online, but franchise fans certainly have. While the company continues to pour obscene sums of money into adding features to GTA Online, it's been a whopping 7 months since the Western's acclaimed Moonshine update, and the wait for additional content is clearly getting to fans. The video embedded above shows an entire lobby of players dressed as clowns. According to a report on PC Games N, this all started on Discord and Reddit, where fans have been holding impromptu fashion shows. Since we're all clowns for believing we'll get an update, it's fitting that we dress as them in-game too, one of the organizers explained. To be honest, we really appreciate stuff like this. Rockstar may have effectively abandoned the game, but fans are finding new ways to make their own fun, and we suppose that's testament to the strength of the original package. Alas, with GTA 5 set to release on the PS5 next year, there's very little hope of the label turning its attention elsewhere. So there we go. People are dressing up as clowns. It doesn't quite, as I said, doesn't quite go as in-depth as the other article that I read, but I think people on the Discord, they're employing people to fill a variety of roles from the circus spectrum, including knife throwers and jugglers and mimes and strongmen and all sorts. So there's a very good chance if you play Red Dead Online, you will bump into someone who looks like they work at a circus.
Oh,
and that is why, because people feel like clowns because they're waiting for an update that may never come.
I love that. I hope that there was a cavalcade of clowns carrying soup from one side of the map to the other, or stew, or whatever it was. Remember that?
There was strong alliteration on that.
A cavalcade of clowns.
Clowns carrying carrot and coriander soup.
Perfect.
Yeah, the stew, carrying the stew from one side of the map to the other. They should have known this game was in trouble when we read that story last year.
Yeah.
That was all they had to do was carry stew.
And the game was still sort of fresh from the presses at that point.
Yes.
There was still nothing to do.
And half the fun of carrying the stew was deliberately being hit by trains.
Yeah.
While carrying stew. And that was it. That new combination was so fresh and exciting that it gave them a reason to carry on playing.
I think Rockstar looked at that and thought, hey, we don't need to give any more content to these guys. They can make their own fun.
Yeah,
they'll dress as clowns. They'll carry stew. It's all good.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great. But anyway, that was my weird news.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
It's a very, very good one.
Do another question.
Okay, another question from Steven Scoots. Steven Scoots asks, or says, hello, Ben and Peter, and asks, there's been a couple of leaks happening lately, most recently with the gameplay for Watch Dogs Legion and the story for Far Cry 6. Do you guys think that leaks hinder the excitement of new games being announced or gameplay being shown? Personally, I'm still excited for these games, but I would prefer the official announcement. Keep up the fantastic work, guys. Thank you, Steven.
Thank you, Steven. It's a shame, isn't it? I think that's that, in a word, it's a shame. While it is exciting to have stuff leaked in that, oh man, we know about it before we men know about it. Cheeky and exciting time, right? How fun.
Yeah.
It's also kind of a shame because sometimes the surprises are really worth the surprise. You know, Final Fantasy VII Remake being announced at that at E3 a number of years ago, that was huge. That was an amazing moment. Fallout 4 being announced at that E3 and then also being announced to come out that same year, amazing. Resident Evil 3 being leaked by its PlayStation Store assets the day of that, The State of Play, where they said, actually, that stupid multiplayer thing that we've been talking about that no one cares, surprise, it's just the multiplayer component of Resident Evil 3 Remake. That would have been huge. Would have been such a huge thing. And as exciting as it is to see Giancarlo Esposito in Far Cry 6, it's a Far Cry game. So for me, I'm not hugely sad that I didn't get the full power of watching it live on the Ubisoft Forward event,
which, of course, was
at the same time as the Ubisoft Catering event and the Ubisoft Forward event, which were happening next door. But it's a shame. I feel sorry for the people who work on the game as much as anything else and the poor marketing and PR people who are probably stressing overtime to put these fires out when they start popping up all over the internet. It's got to be tough.
Yeah. And, it does seem to be happening. Well, I don't know if it's happening any more than it ever has done, but, it's happened with the Crash game that was leaked like a sort of a week ahead of time with the box art. I had another example before we started recording, actually. But yeah, it happens. And I think, what I would prefer is, I don't necessarily mind if, I know that there's a group of gamers or video game fans who are really into that kind of thing. And they find it quite exciting. And it's a bit like, it's a bit like panning for gold or something. Mm-hmm. It's like you're happening upon something and going, oh, wow, look at this thing that was accidentally put on a Brazilian storefront or something. And, there's a lot of... There can be a lot of fun to discuss things like that. However, I almost wish that, like, things like that were reserved to a certain corner of the internet, which I know you can never police. There's no way that that would ever be doable. But, you know, it'd be nice if that was just left, just reserved to the relevant subreddit or, you know, something like that. Because I feel sorry for publishers when either their hands are forced because they know that everyone now knows about their game, and so they're like, oh, well, I suppose we better announce that next week, even though we weren't going to. Or, you know, the moment is taken away from them. They're probably getting really excited about, hey, let's have this big moment and reveal it. And they don't get to have that. But equally, it's also a shame when sometimes these things are revealed in a really grainy, low-quality form.
Yes.
Because it is like this small thumbnail box art that someone has taken and had to blow up to a reasonable size.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks dreadful. Or it's like something that someone's recorded over the shoulder of another person in the office and has leaked that directly from the source. Or, you know, so it would be nice to also be able to see these things in good quality,
yeah,
when they're revealed, and not just in little grainy, bad quality.
It's like surprise reveal piracy, where you want to go to the cinema to get the full viewing experience, or you could watch a version that was filmed on someone's phone in the back of a cinema with people getting up to go to the toilet.
You wouldn't leak a handbag.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't steal a policeman's Far Cry 6 trailer either.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, they should have just got Giancarlo Esposito to just Breaking Bad everyone, you know?
Yeah, they should.
Just got him to Gustavo Fring everyone that watched it early. But yeah, I think, as I said, I think it's just a shame. It's a shame. And as you said, it makes perfect sense for publications to report this stuff because it's in their best interest to, and I don't begrudge that. And if an Ubisoft employee is a big silly idiot person and is openly working on Assassin's Creed stuff on their laptop on a train or whatever it was that happened that one time, or they left that USB stick full of Assassin's Creed information on it, which did happen, then absolutely, you know, that's a mistake, and I'm sure they didn't intend for that to happen, but if they're not being careful enough, then that stuff does get out there. But if it's a case of, you know, people hacking servers or whatever, it's there's a different discussion that goes around, that goes with that, I should say. Mm-hmm. However, ultimately, it's just kind of, I just feel sorry for the people working on the game who want it to be revealed in all of its glory at the right time when it's ready. And
You have to think, like, how would you feel? You know, how would one feel if you've worked so hard on this big reveal trailer and then it just gets, you know, the title gets leaked ahead of time, or a bit of concept art or whatever. It's a shame.
It is a shame, especially as that trailer purposefully doesn't show his face for a long time. You're clearly meant to think, is that him? Is that Breaking Bad boy? Is that the guy? Is that the guy from The Mandalorian? Is that him? Is that that man?
Yeah.
And then it reveals his face towards the end. It's like, oh my God, they've got him for Far Cry 6. None of that hit. None of that landed because everyone already knew.
Yeah.
And it lessens the impact. But there we go. What are you going to do, eh?
What are you going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. Going to move on to the final section of the podcast.
Okay, I've got my paper. You got your paper?
What's it called?
It's called the Big Discussion. Ah! It's big discussion time. Time for a big discussion courtesy of BXtra, or Bextra, perhaps.
Yes,
with
Bextra.
With the likes of Final Fantasy, The Last of Us, and Halo, and now Fallout as well, right? All reportedly in the works as live-action series, are there any gaming franchises you'd love to see made into a TV show? Unlike films, which generally focus on a single story arc and a small ensemble of characters, a serialized episodic format would allow for a deeper exploration of that fictional universe. What factors would influence your choices? The main protagonist / antagonist? The associated lore or world-building? Diversity of available characters? Are there specific plot lines you would want featured, or would you prefer an original storyline mindset in the in-game universe. And then Bextra goes on to say, as a longtime Lurker fan, it's been phenomenal to watch Triple Jump go from strength to strength. You boys have fostered an amazing community capable of helping folk in dark times, whether through the direct support of the lovely Walrus clan or providing distraction with easygoing but quality entertainment. You should be immensely proud of what you and the rest of the TJ team have achieved. Much love, Keith.
Much love, Keith.
Thank you. Keys. Thank you, Bextra. Thank you very much. That's very sweet. So, Peter.
Yeah.
TV shows.
Yeah.
That we wanna be game related, right?
Right, yeah.
How do you want to tackle this?
Well, maybe we could pitch. Maybe I could hello?
Hello?
Hello, I've got an appointment.
You're coming.
Yeah, hi.
Take a seat. Hi.
I'm a video gamer. You can tell by my sunglasses and the Cheeto dust on my fingers.
I do see that. You have crosshairs on your sunglasses. Very cool.
Aim better.
Welcome to Flip You Entertainment. How can we flip you? What's going on? My name is Big Cool Boss Boy.
Oh, sorry. My appointment is with Johnny Flip, the CEO.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hang on. Let me... it's next door.
Thank you. So,
and you wipe down those door handles as well. Get the Cheeto dust on. Don't cough everywhere as well. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hi.
Johnny?
I'm Johnny. I'm Johnny Flip. Welcome to Flip You, whatever the name of my studio is. Take a seat. How can I help?
Mr. Flip, thank you. I've come as instructed. I've come prepared with a pitch for you, a big old pitch.
Oh yes, we make TV shows here.
You certainly do, and I'm a gaming expert, so I've brought a game to be made into a TV show for you.
Okay, talk to me about it. Let's go.
Have you ever played Surgeon Simulator?
No, but I do sort of get the concept because a bunch of us powerful execs we do Class A drugs, and then we sort of basically it's called expensive surgery. It's just in like a special warehouse where a lot of us rich folk get together and just sort of play with bodies and stuff. Anyway,
I propose that we make a video game TV series around Surgeon Simulator, the hit Surgeon Simulator game.
Okay, I've just googled that. It says that it's a hit, and it's a game.
It is that. So, I mean, where do you want to go with this? Do you have any questions?
Yes. So, how would it work as a TV show? How many episodes do you think? Is there going to be a main character? What's going to happen?
Absolutely. I think there could be up to 60 episodes. The Surgeon Simulator is played from the point of view of the surgeon, of course. Mm-hmm. And you move your hand around and you chop people up into pieces. I think... that the TV show could be done from the point of view of the bits inside the body cavity.
Okay, so it's sort of like a first-person perspective, but from the organs, right?
Yes. Okay. Everyone is a personified organ or chunk of bone that's been smashed by a hammer.
Okay.
There's like a radio in there that sometimes falls in, a few syringes. They've all got googly eyes, you know. They're all happy little fellas. We could market them for sure.
Okay.
There'd be, you know, loads of plushy options. Mm. So they all live inside this person's body, and the show is about how the big surgeon man who you see looming over constantly, like the moon out of The Legend of Zelda.
Oh yes, yeah, I know that one.
He's reaching in with a circular saw, and it's just 60 episodes of them trying not to be chopped up or removed or replaced.
Okay, so you really think it has to be 60 episodes, yeah?
I think it does, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm open to negotiation if you think it should be 120, but it's up to you.
And it's the same body?
I think it's mostly the same body. There's probably like one random episode where it's just a completely different body and similar character. It's like a parallel universe.
Right.
There's a parallel universe episode that's set inside the body of another man or woman.
Okay. To ground this in reality somewhat,
yeah.
What's wrong with the man that he needs to have surgery 60 times?
Oh, nothing. There's nothing wrong with him at all. Right. That's part of the... It's like a horror show, but for kids.
Okay. Okay. Is it animated?
No. It's really photorealistic.
Okay.
Like, really, really... It's educational, if anything.
Right, you want it to be graphic. Because people will...
Yeah, I want it to be really horribly graphic, apart from the fact that there's googly eyes. In fact, I think we should film it with real flesh, real live-action organs, and just literally stick on some of those googly eyes that you get from craft shops.
Ah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's what I'm thinking. That's kind of it, really. You know, it's just the heartwarming slash heart-wrenching slash heart chopped up by circular saw story of some internal organs becoming external organs.
Okay.
And there's just this terrifying surgeon man or woman who comes and gets them all the time.
I mean, as I said, I've already sort of got contacts and hookups for that kind of thing in real life. So I think we don't even need a budget for this. We already have a guy. How does the person in which the organs live, do they need to be alive for this, or can they have been dead for a while?
Well, they can have been... I was going to suggest that we get a celebrity guest to play the person.
Okay.
But they don't have to be alive. You know, we could use a dead celebrity.
Yeah, you got a you got any suggestions? Anyone you'd like to exhume?
I believe Walt Disney's on ice. Yeah. So, you know, we could maybe get him
in. Okay, I mean, I'll have to ask Walt. He is busy. This is just it's executive stuff, you know. We all know each other, but maybe I'll ask him next time we go people hunting.
Yeah.
I'll see what he has to say. Okay, so what I'm going to do is send you back next door to Big Cool Boss Boy.
Yes.
And he'll show you the door, and I'll be in touch.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Take a water on your way out. You look like you need to drink something other than Monster Energy.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much.
No, not in here. I don't want to watch that. You go. You go. Yeah. Go.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
He told me that you'll show me the door, boss man.
Oh, no, sorry. My name's Ben. I'm just waiting for my appointment. The boss man's in that one.
Oh, sorry. I'll go next door.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
I hope it went well. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. who let you in here?
I just came up from the street. Should I not? Hello?
Oh, it's my office. Sorry.
Oh.
Do you have an appointment?
Yes. Yeah, I meant to see the other Flip brother. I believe there are two.
Oh yeah, that's me. I'm Maureen Flip.
Oh, sorry. Are you? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'm one of the Flip brothers. Maureen. Okay. Maureen. Flip.
Pleasure to meet you, Maureen. Thank you for having me. Am I sat in the right place, or like, do you want me to?
You're sat in my very high-backed executive chair behind my desk, but I don't mind. You know, I'll sit in the on the stool if you like.
Okay,
not fussing.
Right, if it doesn't make you uncomfortable, that's fine. I'll stay here. I'll stay here.
No, by all means.
Thank you for coming to a meeting with me today in your office.
No problem. I believe you've got a pitch for me regarding a television-based video game, television-based shows, based television.
Yes. So, important question before I give you the rest of my pitch. Have you heard of Doctor Who? Have you heard of Doctor Who?
Have I heard of Doctor Who?
Yes.
Is that the one? Is that the one with Captain Picard?
Yes, it is. Okay, good. He doesn't know what Doctor Who is. That's perfect. So, have you heard of the video game Time Splitters?
Remind me.
So Time Splitters is a video game all about a bold man called Simon... Sergeant Cortez is what his name
is.
And he's got little tiny glasses and his eyes are red for some reason. And he jumps between different time periods trying to gather time crystals so that the final leap will be the leap home. Right?
Sure.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... in a totally original concept that's nothing like Doctor Who, which you've clearly heard of and are very aware of, each episode, Sergeant Cortez has to go to a different time period and and solve some kind of mystery and get a time crystal and then keep making his way downtown and just going to different time periods and zones in each episode, right? How does that sound?
Okay. Sounds interesting. Yeah, I like it. What's the overall... Is there an overall series arc here?
Yeah, to get all the crystals and then get home.
Right.
Because in the game, we didn't see Sergeant Cortez's home. We didn't see him sleep or like go to the toilet or eat or anything. And it sort of dehumanized him a bit. And I feel like there's a real opportunity here to show him doing some very tedious things that would make us relate to him as a human being and a person, right?
Right. So we're going to pad out some of the episodes with... toilet scenes,
yeah,
eating cereal,
big time,
having his hair cut.
However, he doesn't need his hair cut because he's bald. He just is. I mean, we could
go. Oh, sorry, I wasn't really paying attention.
No, I didn't think you were. There's an opportunity for a lot of brand deals here. You know, like we could talk to Nestle, maybe the most morally upstanding company. I'm sure you'll agree, where he can go back in time to the dinosaur land to get his time crystal. But then there's like. Cocoa Rocks there. Is that Nestle or Cocoa Pops Nestle? Is that Kellogg's? I don't...
It's pronounced Nestle. Nestle, sorry. Yes, you are correct.
Am I?
Yes.
Okay. So some sort of relevant breakfast cereal for the time that then the kiddies can buy in real life, right?
Oh,
and
perfect.
And if there's an episode where he goes to the toilet, we could be... like, it could be an Armitage Shanks toilet, right?
Right, yeah, I like
maybe.
It.
Or when he gets his hair cut, it could be with all L'Oreal branded equipment and products, yeah?
Yeah, so that the kids who are watching will buy an Armitage Shanks toilet for their house. Is that
well, I've envisioned this conversation between a kid asking his dad or his mum for an Armitage Shanks toilet, and I feel like that's a very realistic conversation that could happen.
Yeah, just like Cortex.
Yes, Sergeant Cortex, yes. In terms of casting, how do you feel about Vin Diesel?
It's not very good for the environment, but, I'm okay with it.
Okay, good, because I think he'd be a good fit. He's too busy going really fast, angrily at the moment in cars. But I feel like if we could get Vin Diesel on board, he'd make a good Sergeant Cortex.
Very croaky.
Croaky guy. Yeah, sure. And the catchphrase is time to split. It's time to do the splits, is what he says. It's time for splits. Yeah. And there's, again, you could partner with gymnastics and there's merchandising opportunities. Basically, this show could be very lucrative and make you a lot of money, Maureen, if you go through with it.
Sounds perfect. I'm always out to outdo my brother, despite the fact that we work for the same company.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I like to know that I sealed the deal with the best show. So put it there.
Where?
I just slap it out onto the desk. Wow, goodness me. It's a deal.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of money.
Yeah.
The end.
See you later. Enjoy my
thank
office.
Thank you. You're
Bye.
Leaving me in here, are you? Okay, yeah, I'll just climb out the fire escape the same way I came in.
I'm not going anywhere near that desk until it's been left for 72 hours.
All right, who are you kidding? You rascal.
Right, well, there we go. We've put the world to rights.
Yeah, sorry, Bextra. I absolutely know that was the opposite of what you intended to get with that question, but that's what you got.
So here's a bit of fourth wall breaking. Did I have a dream last night or not that... Or is this real? That I asked you what game you were going to choose for that scenario. Because when I saw this running order, I was like, okay, do we do a serious pitch where we do actually answer Bextra's questions? Because I thought maybe like I had a serious-ish one for Hogs of War with like loads of British comedians voicing different characters. And then I was sure that I wondered whether you were going to do a silly one or not. And I asked you, and you told me you were. But then you did time splitters, and maybe I just dreamt.
This
the
is
whole
an
thing.
Invented, dreamt up conversation. I'm afraid this is
My
this is
God,
a real
weird.
Dream conversation because I was going to do the running order for the show this morning,
right?
But obviously, I we sort of didn't have enough time because we got a packed schedule today because we were only both in for one day or half of one day, So that's all we've got this week to record together. So I put it together at like 11:30 last night in bed.
As I was going to bed.
And I wasn't expecting a reply from you, and you just said, thanks. And I was like, oh, he's still up. Yeah. Okay. And so maybe you read it then and then had this entire dream about the amazing podcast we were going to do the next day.
Because I was going to ask you, and I must have dreamt about asking you, because I didn't know whether you were going to be very silly or just a bit silly, right, which is why I chose Surgeon Simulator.
Okay.
But I literally had a dreamt conversation about that. That's weird.
Hi, Peter, you're still... Sorry, I just caught you before you left. How's it going?
It's going
did
okay.
Did you... sorry. What happened to your voice?
It's going okay.
Everything all right? That water really changed you, didn't it?
It certainly did, yeah. It lubricated up my vocal cords.
Your vocal cords. I've just had a thought about this Surgeon Stimulator, whatever it was, film, TV show. We do TV shows.
Yes.
It's a bit silly. I was just wondering if you had any sort of last-minute elevator... We are in an elevator, of course. Elevator pitches for me regarding a more serious show.
Elevator pitch. There's a game called Hogs of War that was on PS1 that was silly. Yeah. And it was voiced by Rick Mayall, who's
Rick.
No longer with us.
No, he is. He just doesn't... He's very secretive.
Maybe we could use his body for the Surgeon Sim TV show.
I mean, he would have to consent because he is alive and he is a dear friend of mine.
Right, okay. In any case, given that he's either maybe no longer with us or maybe he is, I thought we could instead get lots of other almost caricaturish British comedians in to voice the hogs. So it would be a silly thing with anthropomorphic pigs who go on different missions every week, probably animated, and they're just voiced by, like, whether you like them or not, just comedians that have their own personality, like Russell Brand and Peter Kay and Kevin Bridges and John Cleese.
I like that a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah, I love your hog. Really good hogs there. It's great hogs.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you on Monday about it. I think this is very promising. I've got to get out on this floor because this is where we do that surgeon thing that I was telling you about that me and the other executives do where we cut up the bodies and stuff. You can't...
It smells
dreadful.
Yeah,
you can't come in. It's really quite unsettling. So, I'm going to go. Walt Disney's waiting inside and Rick Mayall and stuff. So I will. I'll catch you on Monday.
There's a lot of screaming
coming
from
in.
I thought they were dead.
No, you've got to go now.
What?
This is off limits. Bye.
Bye.
Curtain. Finn. We did it.
Scene.
Perfect. We nailed it. First try.
Leave it marked as scene and never reply.
There we go. We may not have enough time or the ability to really do any of our silly shows at the moment, but my God, we'll find a way to be silly somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do it. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. If you have opinions or thoughts on what we've discussed this week, then you can reach out to us via the following methods, locations, places. What's the correct term there?
You can reach out to us in the comments section of where we put our content, like youtube.com and twitch.tv/ Team Triple Jump. Where we put videos and live streams out when we're streaming. We're modded by Lord Rotovich and Cecil Prumps. You can also reach out to us in the usual ways on social media, twitter.com and facebook.com/ Team Triple Jump. Luke Heldon is looking after Facebook and continuing to boss it. We've got a Discord. Oops, we've got a Patreon. Patreon.com/ Team Triple Jump. All kinds of rewards. Early worst games ever. Access to a special room in our Discord, which is bit.ly/ Team Triple Jump. And that's being modded by Jack and Joe. Also, doing a good job. If you're watching the podcast on YouTube, you can get the audio version at play.acast.com/s/ Triple Jump. We've got a website, triplej.merp. And the live stream VODs are available at triplej.merp/VODs, which just redirects to our VODs channel on YouTube.
Absolutely. You can follow Peter on Instagram and Twitter at @PeterAustin and myself just on Twitter at @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday streams, every Monday, Thursday and Friday. As we've said a few times, our streaming schedule is changing ever so slightly. Thursday being the joint streams on Reddit, Monday and Friday being the solo streams on Twitch. Did I say? I did just say Reddit, didn't I? I heard it, and I thought that was weird. YouTube is what I mean. I don't know where Reddit came from. I haven't got Reddit open. There's nothing on this screen that says Reddit. Where did I get that from?
Maybe you just read it off the sheet.
Worst games ever is fortnightly Friday for patrons, Sunday for everyone else. It's not a worst games ever week, so don't expect one. The podcast is every Saturday, and we try and fit in a show every other week. This week, with no worst games, we've got another episode of What X Means to Me, and if all goes to plan, it will be our first guest episode with a member of Cultaholic, and that will already be out. Should have gone out on Friday, so go and watch that. And please leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice. It helps something to do with algorithms. I don't really know how that works. Anyway, as I said, the new episodes of What X Game Means to Me, that should be out now. We've got this new streaming schedule because we've brought on new members of staff and we're busy manager boys. We're having to scale back our streaming schedule to what it was before we started working from home. So we're returning to the two solo streams, one joint stream, Blaze It model. Peter and I would usually stream Monday, Tuesday, and then we'd stream together on Thursday. Peter's still going to stream on Monday, but I'm going to keep my Friday stream at least for the period while I'm working from home, because I like to stream on the Friday evenings. But that may change, so stay tuned. And also just a reminder that we will be part of the Uplink Retro Expo, the all-digital retro exposition. It's not exposition, is it? Exposition?
Yeah, exhibition.
I don't know where they get expo.
Exposition, as you like, you said. I don't know. Yeah, it's weird.
With someone screaming at us now, they'll know. They'll know for sure. Anyway, you can find out more about it uplink.liretro.com. That will be August the 8th to the 9th. We'll be streaming an episode of Worst Games Ever live. We'll be doing one, so do come along if you can. Ticket information, all that sort of stuff, can be found uplink.liretro.com. Ah, Peter, just enough time to hear about another expo that just passed. Yeah. The sponsor for this week's episode.
You sound worn out after that. Maybe you could refresh yourself or re-energize by having a few of the new Ubisoft treats that are being released to food shelves near you in a supermarket, including Assassin's Creed Vanilla, Far Cry Mix, Watch Dogs Cajun, and I'm still mad about that Beyond Pudding Treacle.
It's strange, really, isn't it? Why wasn't that there?
I don't know.
It's everyone's favourite. Everybody is contributing bits of treacle to it to help build it.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre that they wouldn't show that game.
What am I going to do for when I need pudding treacle?
I don't know, man.
Treacle for my pudding, if Beyond Pudding Treacle is not available.
Just going to have to play Beyond Pudding Treacle 2, but spelt T-double-O, as in as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a shame. Well, thank you so much for watching / listening, everyone. We will be back next week. Hope you enjoy the rest of your weeks and your weekends. And we will see you all very, very soon. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.